Your Bibles to Psalms chapter 91. I'd like to title this Life's Middle Time. In Psalms 91 and verse 16, we read these words: with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. How many want to have a good long life? But I want you to back up now and look at verse 5. Because verse 5 leads us to verse 16. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence, verse 6, that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Destruction that wasteth at noonday. I believe it would not be wrong to divide life up into categories. There's a lot of sermons that are preached to young people. I had the opportunity of being involved with teen camp for 15 years at least. And I don't know how many sermons were directed to the young people, preaching to them and encouraging them and instructing them on the privileges and the perils that attend that stage of your life. Paul said to Timothy, flee youthful lust. So there are instructions the Scriptures give to that period of time in your life. And rightfully so, because youth is habit forming. It's a habit forming time of life, good or bad. Youth can be easily swayed for good or bad things that influence them. Youth is a very critical time in your life and can be dangerous and can be quite a blessing, because it's a very impressionable time in their life. We've said the trunk of the tree is shaped at that time. That's why the wise man said, train up a child in the way he should go, that when he is old, he will not depart. I want to ask the question. He's dealing with when you're young and when you're old. But what about the middle time? That scripture seems to suggest he may depart in the middle time. But when he is old, he comes back. And the reason he comes back is because he was trained in the early years correctly. He'll come back if he was trained correctly. It grieves me when I see so many kids that should be here that are not being trained, because when they're old, they don't have nothing to come back to. And this is a very critical time in their life. Paul knew the temptations of the different stages in life, and so does the Holy Spirit. He says to Timothy, flee youthful lust. We know we're not to enter into the way of temptation. Avoid it. Proverbs says, avoid it, pass not. Listen to my son, my instructions of a father. But all stages of life have their different temptations. When I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away those childish things. But each stage has its own challenges, and they differ. Now, old age has its perils and challenges as well, but they're different challenges than when you were younger. One of the perils of being in the twilight years is always looking back. It's all right to drive down the road, look in the rearview mirror a little bit for that highway patrolman, but I wouldn't suggest you spend all your time looking at the rearview mirror. You don't make a good driver. And one of the dangers of that stage of life is always looking back to the point where you're not enjoying the present. In fact, the wise man says, don't say the former days were better than these, for thou dost not consider wisely. If you were to go 30 years ago, you would hear probably people say in this church and many churches, boy, you should have been here 20 years ago. Them was the good old days. And then if you were to go 20 years later, you'd hear that crowd say, you should have been here 20 years ago. And I've heard it here. You should have been here 20 years ago before Brother Connor came. No, listen, every day is the day the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. And one must be careful that he just doesn't, at that time, spend all your time in the good old days where you are not enjoying the present days. So youth has its perils, old age has its perils, but our text draws our attention to realize the challenges, and I may say dangers, that occur in life's middle time. I believe those are the most dangerous. And I speak, hopefully, pulling out of that age and moving into another stage, but for me personally, I do believe, I speak from experience, the most perilous times and most dangerous periods in a person's life is middle time. Well, how old do you got to be to qualify to be in life's middle time? It depends what part of the Bible you want to quote. I'm going to say anywhere from 30 to 60. It could vary. I think of the expression used by the psalmist in Psalms 91. He says, leading up to about having a good life, but he says, be careful the destruction that wasteth at noonday. The scriptures and history, if you take a look, the pages are full of instances of men who reached their greatest triumphs and their greatest victories, and on the same page or opposite, who suffered their greatest defeats and the greatest disappointments in life's middle time. If we go to the Word of God to examine this, one thinks of Moses, who is dominated by his decision to deliver his people from Egyptian bondage. But this happened in Moses' middle time of life. His successor, Joshua, likewise, it was in his life's middle time that he achieved his greatest accomplishments, when he took the mantle from Moses and he went on to great victories. And history is full of the greatest defeats and the greatest victories. They occurred in life's middle time. Hebrews chapter 11, we have what is called the Hall of Fame, or Heroes of the Faith. There are, I counted them, 19 specific names that are given. Out of these 19 names that are listed, most of them accomplished what they did in life's middle time. When you consider not only those in Hebrews 11, but you consider the great church leaders of the past, John Wesley, Charles Wesley, who wrote many of the hymnals, John Knox, the martyr, Martin Luther, and many more, when they did their greatest accomplishments and had their greatest influence and power was in life's middle time, in midlife. Gladstone brings out when John Bunyan wrote his book on Pilgrim's Progress. I went and checked. He says that in the Christian journey, the most critical and dangerous time is during life's middle time. Webster made his greatest achievements during middle life. He was quite the statesman. Patrick Henry gave his immortal speech in a very critical hour that would determine our country's future and existence. He gave that speech during the time of our country's middle time. He gave the speech himself at a time when he was in the middle time of his life. Those words that we remember, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. That was stated in life's middle time. Our country, the USA, its most critical times have not been at its beginning. It was critical of the forming of the 13 colonies and trying to survive. But as a nation, after we became established, and years later, it was in our middle time that we faced perhaps our most dangerous challenge as a country we've ever had. It was when the North fought the South over slavery, or whether we would be a country free for all mankind. But this was in our country's middle time. Civil War killed and maimed over 1 million people to free 4 million slaves, 1860. Wellington came to his great victory at Waterloo in life's middle time. Caesar crossed the Rubicon in the middle time of this soldier's life, and it's also true in the realm of business. The fact remains the same that it's in the life of the business, its most critical time is in its middle time. It's a challenge to get a business off the ground. But it's just as dangerous, if not more so, during that business's existence during the middle time. Will they continue to change and stay relevant? Will they continually to retool? Will they continually change in healthy ways with the changing of the times? Life's middle time. But the opposite is true. Not only are the greatest achievements often during life's middle time, some of the greatest defeats and tragedies and disappointments happen in life's middle time. When you turn to the Bible, again, there are vivid examples of men who went down in defeat in life's middle time. David, in his early youth, was victorious, but it was in life's middle time he failed so miserably. There was Samson, the strongest man of all the ages. His ministry was launched with great success. Now Samson is well established, and yet he went down to a horrible place with a horrible atmosphere, and he met up with Delilah, and he awakes, and his power is gone, and we read those words that he wist not that the Spirit had departed from him. When did this happen in his life? in life's middle time. Didn't happen in the startup. It happened in the middle. Solomon failed tragically in life's middle time, and so did King Saul. For me personally, I'm 65. I'm moving out of the middle time into senility. But for me personally, my own observation, and I'm speaking of knowing hundreds of ministers over the 45 years, it's been life's middle time where I saw many fail. Aaron Burr killed Alexander Hamilton in life's middle time. Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver in life's middle time. And history books I was reading were Charles IX of France. They write that in his youth he seemed so tender, so sympathetic, and so responsive. He had so much promising potential. But when he came into power, and now years passed and he's in life's middle time, he was one of the most cruel, slaughtering kings France ever had. His personal physician says as Charles IX was lying and dying at the end, he personally told his doctor, "Whether asleep or awake, I see all the Huguenots," that was some people, "that he was responsible for massacring. I see all the Huguenots that I have killed, marching them before me, showing me their gaping wounds, and I hear the cries of the little babies that I have murdered." This happened in life's middle time. He never made it to old age. Why is life's middle time so wrought with potential of either victory or great defeat? I believe there are some answers that we can find. Do you know a sermon is listened to the most at the beginning and the end? It's during that middle time of the sermon. I remember as a young man and a child going to church, I heard the beginning. I'd go to sleep during the middle. At the end of the altar call, I'd wake up, feel the Spirit of God moving. When you get on an airplane, you're more alert at the takeoff, and you're alert when you land. It's during that middle of the flight, you're apt to go to sleep and relax. Everything's okay. By the way, I've had a number of flights. Do you know from the time that that pilot pulls the throttle and thrusts and opens up those engines until as it goes down the runway and those wheels leave the ground, I've counted them, it's approximately 19 to 20 seconds long. Now you'll do that if you ever fly again. You time it. But it's easy to get in a groove and to get complacent in the middle time. In Scripture, it even bears this out. For Jesus teaches us that the sower that went forth to sow seed in Matthew 13, while men slept, the enemy came. When was that referring to? What part of the time? Men weren't sleeping when they were toiling the ground and preparing the soil. They weren't sleeping when they planted the seed and they watered it. They're not sleeping when it's time to pick the harvest. It's during that middle time when you should watch it and maybe pull a weed or two That is the dangerous time. And it is true in life's middle time, there is the temptation to be preoccupied with making a living rather than making a life. It's in life's middle time we're prone to forget our dreams we had at youth and the ideals and the visions we had at the beginning of our youth. And it's easy now to settle in and we become absorbed with the routines and materialism. And slowly we get drawn into secularism and worldliness. You know, a weed can grow up overnight. But anything else that's worth growing takes time. And that's why it's that middle time when the weeds came and can grow so quickly. In life's middle time, when we are coasting along and the distractions, they become more magnetic and have a stronger pull on us. When we're taking off on that airplane, boy, we're focused, make sure everything's okay. When we're landing, we're just as alert and making sure everything's okay. But it's after we're just coasting along. We're not as alert. We're not focused on what we were. And it is true in life, rather than being focused on making a life, to the contrary, we get focused on just making a living. I want to read a poem twice, and I pray the second time make more sense than the first time. We are blind until we see that in the human plan, nothing is worth the making if it does not make the man. Why build the city glorious if man unbuilded goes? In vain we build the work unless the builder grows. We are blind until we see that in the human plan, nothing is worth the making if it doesn't make the man. Why build a glorious city if man unbuilded goes? In vain we build the work unless the builder grows. God's more important about you growing and you building than what you're building. In youth, we dream dreams like Joseph, and little children dream dreams. And I listened to a speech of a candidate the other night say, he told his little daughter, he said, I build big buildings, and I can't wait until you grow up and help me grow these big buildings. It was very touching and warm. But when we're young, we have these visions and these dreams. And the little boy says, when I'm a man, I'm going to do such and such. But let us not forget to focus on building ourselves is more important than what we do. What we are is more important than what we do, because what we do often comes out of what we are. It's easy to get distracted and to lose sight. It's so easy to take our eyes off of what is more important and to begin to focus on what is less important. Not to say what is less important is not as important, but there is that scripture that we need to come back to continually. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If I'm seeking His righteousness, that's talking about me being right with God continually. Look at the project. It's easy to focus on the project and forget to look up. For the fields are wide unto harvest. We should be lifting up our eyes continually from whence cometh our help, and our help cometh from above. And our primary business is not to build a living. It's to build a life. Making a living is secondary. That's passive. That's incidental. It does demand our attention. But may we be reminded, I'm to build a life that I always do those things that please my Father. Yes, we are to pray, give us this day our daily bread. But there is something more important in that prayer we are taught to pray than give us this day our daily bread. What is that more important thing that we should put more emphasis on in the prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's more important than me getting my daily bread. Life's middle time is more important and apt to be drawn to covetousness and worldliness. Men leave God out in life's middle time more than they're tempted in the youth. A complacency comes that is greater in the pool in life's middle time than it does at life's beginning and at life's end. And we do well to listen to the wise one who said, guard your affections. And may we learn to guard our affections in life's middle time. Debbie, would you come, please? I don't know why I am going to bring this truth out. I pray the Holy Spirit will apply it to your life. How to keep the Titanic from sinking? We know that the Titanic, the reason this unsinkable ship made by man that was said would never sink, it sank because it hit an iceberg. By the way, God built the ark and it didn't sink in greater challenges. God didn't call you to fight the icebergs, but to get to your destination. I'm often asked, Pastor, why don't you get involved in this and get involved in that and fight this and fight that? And may I answer it this way? Maybe Jesus said, the poor you have always. I've learned that in life, as I travel down through life's journey, I come across some icebergs. Anybody ever come across an iceberg in life's journey? Avoid them at all cost. Learn to steer around them. God didn't call me to take care of the icebergs. He called me to get to the other side. And when the Titanic and your ship, your old ship of Zion, you know what will happen to those icebergs if left alone? And one needs wisdom, I realize this. Those icebergs will eventually float down the Gulf Stream and they'll melt by the atmosphere itself. So I don't want to stop and fight the icebergs. I want to get to heaven and take as many as I can. And I hope that speaks to some of you this morning. Some of the battles that you and I fight, we must learn to choose wisely. And let God's heavenly atmosphere deal with them. They'll take care of themselves and they'll be dissolved. In the ministry, I see a lot of icebergs. I do. But I'm wanting to get to heaven. How about you? And I'm wanting to take as many as I can with me. This kingdom. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. I'm in another kingdom. I'm seated in heavenly places. The kingdom has come. It's not totally here. Now is the kingdom, but it's not totally here, and it's more so coming. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Would you stand with me this morning? I pray this speak to our hearts and give us wisdom to apply it. Heavenly Father, may we take heed to your word in life's middle time. May we hide this in our heart. Lord, that is when I can do the greatest, but it's also very critical where the greatest tragedies can happen. Wake us up, O Holy Spirit, and may we continually to travel on life's journey and run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, let's find a place to pray, shall we, and talk to the Lord. And wherever you are at in the stage of life, ask the Holy Spirit to be your comfort, your guide. Oh, wake us up, O Lord.